Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Ryan Howard is back. Is it too little, too late? One of the things we'll be talking about today on the Steve Jones Show.
It is next topic.
Yeah, I agree with you.
No, it's too little, too late.
Do you know the last time the Phillies were sellers? 2006.
Sure, I was going to say six.
They moved Abreu, Real Cormier, Ryan Franklin, Corey Lytle, and David Bell. That was the last time they were sellers.
A little different landscape now. I think it's more difficult to be a seller now.
Well, I think they're going to be sellers here shortly.
Yeah, but I think it's more difficult because there's so many teams. I mean, there are a lot of, I don't know. There's so many teams that are in it right now. There aren't that many teams that are out of it.
You know, and the year for the Phillies has just gotten worse and worse. And I know I've lamented on it several times here on the program, but you look
lamented?
At the injuries. Look
lamented
at the injuries
that's your
on
word
this
of the
team.
Day. Lamented?
Lamented.
How about, like, bitterly whined?
Well, I mean, you got here's a guy that would actually was a nice surprise, started to hit the ball very well, out since May 10th, Lance Nix, strained left calf. Maybe back after the break. Looks like Halliday may be back by the Dodgers series, mid-July. Howard coming back tonight. Utley now back. Question is, who's going to be back next season come the end of this month? That's the question a lot of Phillies fans are asking right now.
I think that Chris Wheeler, Tommy McCarthy, they'll probably be back.
Might be the only ones, too. You know, I Ruben Amaro said the other day at Citi Field, it's more about retooling than it is redoing. He said, we got a lot of players that are pretty good, and he expects them to be playing for the Phillies next year. I'm sure Halliday, Lee, Howard, Utley, Papelbon, Rollins, you know, Carlos Ruiz, Hunter Pence, all under contract for next season, might not necessarily be on the trading block, but those that are available would have to be a very fast center fielder in Shane Victorino, and a very solid pitcher in Cole Hamels.
Yes.
But they need to get a lot for them. And the question is it, and I think this is kind of what
you
were saying.
You're not going to get a lot. Look, hey, whoa. Yes. You're not going to get a lot for Shane Victorino.
Probably not. But, I mean, the two combined, you're going to have to get
a lot. But Hamels, you'd have to get a lot for.
Right. I mean, they're looking at five players right now. And as I think you were alluding to, there are so many teams that are active right now in the playoff hunt, especially with these added wild cards, that they may not be willing to make that move.
Just depends. Yeah, it depends.
I do like his comment, though. We plan on being contenders in 13, 14, 15, and 16.
Right. Here's the key with them. Can they be 8 games out of first place, and then probably, you'd have to guess, 4 out of the wild card in 23 days. If they can't be in 23 days, 22, 23 days, then they have to be sellers and think of the future.
I mean, what are they, 11? Is it 11 now?
They're 13 back,
13
right?
Back?
They're 13 back,
I'm
right?
Checking the wild. No, I don't remember.
The last I saw
was 11. In the wild card, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm checking right now, as a matter of fact. And thank you to MajorLeagueBaseball.com for not updating it. Great. I can tell you last year's wild card. That's helpful. Thanks.
Wow, you get really bitter on this show, don't you?
Wow. Listen, you're in the information age. Give me the information.
Wow.
I realize nobody really cares about the wild card a whole lot until after the All-Star break. So, you know, you never really hear much about where they are in the wild card. But right now...
Well, you can do it in your head, for goodness sakes.
Well,
I mean,
not with the new system.
The Phillies are 13 games back.
Right.
Okay? So let's just get to wild card number one.
Okay.
Wild card number one would be...
San Francisco or the Mets.
The Giants and the Mets are both tied, which means you there are your two wild cards. Okay. All right, so now it's become easier. The Phillies are 8.5 games out of the wild card.
Out of which wild card, though?
Either one.
Either one. Both, okay, because they're both tied. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I forgot they were both with the higher percentages. Actually, Washington or the Mets and San Francisco now both at 542 after last night.
Yes, and the Giants play at Pittsburgh, opening of a three-game series tonight in the Are the Pirates Real Derby.
Pirates have a two-game lead right now.
Yeah, I know, but they just took four from Houston.
Well, they're 8 of their last 10.
Yeah, they just took four from Houston, okay?
I know.
All right, now, take your two hands,
yeah.
Okay, put them in front of you.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Put your thumb down on one hand only.
Uh-huh.
How many fingers do you have?
9.
Which equals the number of road wins the Astros have the entire season. The Astros have 9
yes.
road wins all season. They're 9-32.
That is true.
Now, you have to beat the teams that you play at the time. That's what the Pirates have done. But the Astros are not a good baseball team by any stretch of the imagination. They're actually above 500 at home, believe it or not.
But
at Minute Maid Park, they're 23-19.
Yeah, they're not bad at home.
The Pirates had the best home record in baseball.
27-13.
Now they have, though, the Giants. And the Giants have played, until they went to Washington, have played decently. Remember, the Dodgers have had the easiest schedule of everybody so far.
Right.
They have played 4 games in the Eastern time zone all year and do not play in the Eastern time zone again until July 20th. The Giants have been in and out of the Eastern time zone.
The Dodgers also have a losing record on the road, too.
Of course they do.
Which is unusual for a team that's in first place.
Right.
Actually, Pittsburgh has a losing record on the road when you look at it.
Yeah, I know they do.
But they've been so dominant at home.
Right.
And the other thing is, I think Pittsburgh is starting actually to hit the ball much, much better in the last week and a half to 2 weeks.
No doubt. No doubt about it. They're hitting. The Pirate hitting has picked up. McCutcheon's been phenomenal. He and Melky Cabrera, I think, are the Giants are the two leading MVP candidates right now. But the Pirates have actually kicked it up. Their batting average is now, instead of being 29th or 30th, is now 26th at .243. Their on-base percentage is still lousy, but it's actually near .300 now. It'd been hovering around .270 before that. They're now 27th in runs scored and they're 21st in slugging percentage. Their hits have been timely. Every time you turn around, their hitting has been timely hitting. And they're pitching. They're 5th in baseball in the ERA. Their pitchers are 9th in batting average. Their whip number is 9. The quality starts only 17. So they put a lot of pressure on their bridge guys as time goes along.
Well, they
get the Giants, but they avoid Matt Cain.
Sorry about that. Offensively, like I think it was Tuesday night. They were down 7-3 at one point late in the ball game, and then the bats came alive, and they ended up winning at 8-7 with a couple of big home runs late.
They were down 6-2. They tied the game 6. Went ahead 7-6, blew the lead, and then Drew Sutton hit a home run at the bottom of the ninth inning and won. So that's how they did that.
But still, I mean, this is a team that we talked about a couple of weeks ago that just, you know, was winning because they had solid pitching and were not winning games because they were hitting the ball real well and scoring runs.
Now, there are some people, and we'll give you an example. Colin Cowherd of ESPN was talking contraction. He said Major League Baseball should contract two teams, Kansas City and Pittsburgh.
Why? How do you justify a comment like that?
Oh, it's to get people riled up and excited.
Oh, okay. Jeez, that sounds dumber than me. Thanks for not commenting, by the way.
No problem.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, the Phillies, as I mentioned, are right now 8.5 back in the wild card. Their problem is that Milwaukee, Arizona, Miami, Atlanta, St. Louis, and Cincinnati are all in front of them in the wild card.
Well, okay, here we are close to the All-Star break, last weekend before the All-Star break.
Angels and Orioles lead the American League wild card. Cleveland game back. Tampa Bay 1.5 back. Boston 2 back.
Who's absolutely out?
Who's absolutely out?
Your opinion. I'm asking
Colorado,
your opinion.
The Cubs, Houston, San Diego are all absolutely out.
Okay.
And Seattle and Minnesota are absolutely out in the American League.
So you still have the, in your mind, the Phillies, you have the Phillies still in.
Well, only because I'm going to give them 3 weeks here. 3 weeks with their lineup. Okay, let's see what they can do with 3 weeks in the lineup. If they can get this thing down from 13 games to 8, which means they probably would get the wild card down to about 4.5, now you get 2 months.
I mean, for a team that's in last place, only Toronto and Minnesota are closer to the top than the Phillies.
Right.
And of the teams you mentioned, I believe the Phillies were the only one left that didn't have 40 wins that you felt were still was still in the hunt.
Right. Well, Arizona and Milwaukee don't have 40 wins.
That's true. Arizona has 39. I forgot about that. Sorry.
And Milwaukee only has 38.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we haven't even hit, let's see, what, 46, 37? Let's see.
We're halfway.
Yeah, we're halfway right now. So we're at the halfway mark.
And theoretically, if you're 15 games out in the first half, you should be able to come back 15 games in the second half.
No.
Oh, doesn't work that way?
No, it doesn't work that way. No, they have no chance at the division. They have to somehow win a wild card spot. So there you are.
But three. Angel,
go ahead.
No, Angels, I was just going to say three.
Angels and Orioles lead in the American League.
3-7 in the last 10 does not warrant a lot of optimism.
No, it doesn't at all. But I'm saying here's 3 weeks with your lineup. Let's see what you can do. The Phillies have been outscored this year.
Yes.
They've been outscored by 19 runs.
Yes.
It's, you know, I mean, but you look at the Giants. You know, the Giants have outscored their opponents by a total of 4 runs this year.
Wow.
And they're the wild card leader.
That's an entertaining statistic.
The Red Sox are in fourth place. They've outscored their opponents by 50 runs.
What's San Diego's big turnaround all of a sudden, winning 6 in a row and 7 out of the last 10?
Great ownership.
I figured that's what you're going to say.
I don't mean the lead guy.
Yeah, I know.
I got a story with Lee. San Diego's dead last in runs scored in the majors. The Padres are dead last in the majors in runs scored.
Wow.
Now, the one thing they do have is they do have decent pitching. The team ERA in Major League Baseball is 11th. Okay, the batting average against that pitching staff is 7th. So they keep their teams in the game. It's really the bullpen that does it, even without Heath Bell, who's gone on to Miami now. But you look at what they've done, and it's the pitching which has kept them in it the entire time and keeps them in it now. I mean, you're looking at a guy like Chase Headley, okay, who's their third baseman. He leads them in batting average at .272. Are you kidding me? He leads them in home runs, RBIs, got 8 and 42. I mean, really. They just don't, at the plate, don't get it done. And when you switch it over to your pitching, it's a little different story. That's what keeps them in games. They have a lot of guys that can step up and do things for them on the mound. You got a guy like Clayton Richards, not that bad. You know, he's won 6 games for them this year. You know, they have Houston Street as their closer. He's got 13 saves. And, of course, my old buddy, Luke Gregerson, who was here in State College, like Gregerson a lot. Like him as a person and like him as a player. Nice 3.65 ERA. Richards has started 3.64 ERA. Okay. Enderson Volquez, another starter for them. Got 5 wins. ERA, nice and solid, 3.52. I mean, they have a lot of solid guys that pitch for them. Houston Street's ERA is 1.17. I mean, their pitching staff is not bad. They have a legitimate closer in Street, and they have a legitimate setup guy in Gregerson. So that's what keeps them in it.
Switching your gear slightly, I think this is probably going to be one of the most exciting Wimbledon men's finals in a long time with Federer and Murray. It is going to be an unbelievable atmosphere in what is normally a very subdued crowd.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Murray's a Brit.
Yep, you got a Brit for first time in 74 years.
On the men's side.
Right, right.
Okay, now a little slice of history for you. Name the last Brit to be in a singles final. Oh, this is easy. Come on.
If I heard it, I'd probably think of it, but I can't think of it right
brutal.
Now.
It was the 100th anniversary of Wimbledon.
Okay.
Virginia Wade, 1977.
I don't remember that.
And she won.
I would not have guessed Virginia Wade. Sorry. I know I disappointed you, but I would not have guessed that.
That's okay. I don't think anybody in the audience knew either.
But, you know, Federer has a huge following. Murray, obviously, is going to have a huge following. I mean, it's going to be rather interesting with what's normally a very subdued crowd.
Oh, I think it's going to be a pretty wild group, especially outside of...
No, I'm sure.
Outside of center court. So that will be, and I don't even know if they're going to have a women's final. Serena Williams is fine. Her opponent is sick.
Is it really? I didn't hear about that.
Yes.
That's going to be a loss for NBC. What is it? NBC? NBC still have that? Yeah.
No, ESPN.
Oh, ESPN has the full rights.
Yes.
I thought they had half rights, but
no. So, let's see. Let's check the. TWGA. You know what the TWGA is, right?
No.
Tiger Woods Golf Association.
I'm thinking tennis, women's.
J.B. Holmes, 8-under. Jonathan Bird, 8-under. Christian, Charlie Belgian, 8-under. Jeff Maggard, my buddy, at 7-under. Let's see here. Where is our hero? Our hero.
Tiger Search.
There is our hero. And, okay.
Still searching.
Right now, below the cut line. Dude. That's an outrage. That's an outrage. They should move the cut.
Or shave 10 strokes.
No, move the cut. This is an outrage. You can't miss the cut.
Horrible.
The entire tour is built around him. Oh, awful. You know what's going to happen? That means on Sunday they'll actually have to talk about the winner. All right, 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Today's show, yes, it is the fit. When you hear this show on Friday, it's officially the weekend. And that means Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street, Sunbury, back with more of the show, including which teams would you contract after this on WKOK.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury has all your summer partying needs. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water, And did I mention they have beer? Brewers Outlet has a huge selection of imports and microbrews, some incredible deals, and they're a great beverage shoppable store. Fresh roasted peanuts daily, and check this out, a new Help Yourself Pickle Bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the summer, and don't forget the beer.
We're going to hear from Steve Aird, the assistant coach for Penn State women's volleyball, after the news at the bottom of the hour. Because it turns out that two players, Megan Hodge and Krista Harmato, have made the U.S. Olympic team. And Alicia Glass, the setter, is the alternate. And also on the men's side, Matt Anderson made the U.S. Olympic team. And Matt Anderson here, in fact, he left school early, 1 year early, to play pro in Japan. He is the best men's volleyball player I've seen in person except for Karch Karai. And also...
he was kind of talented.
Yeah. And Max Holt is an alternate. Also from Penn State. So I'm going to be watching my fair share of volleyball because I know participants on a personal level.
I'm just watching it because I like watching Olympic volleyball.
Brazil plays like Belgium. Don't care. I don't.
You would if it was for a medal. Nah, you probably wouldn't forget it. Only I would.
No, I wouldn't.
You're right. Yeah. What was I thinking?
There's certain things I would if there wasn't an American in it. That's not one of them.
Heat must be getting to me.
Heat getting to you?
Yeah.
What was the excuse in January?
Oh, nicely done.
Steve Aird, women's volleyball, after Sarah the News and this incredible Heat.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
7 days away from Live for Life. We're 30 days away from the start of training camp. We are 56 days away from the opener with Ohio University. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Our hotline, 1-800-795-9565, is powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, routes 11 to 15 for Sunbury Motors Key in Hummel's Wharf, and, of course, 4th Street in Sunbury. All right, let's bring in Russ Rose's right hand, assistant coach Steve Aird, Penn State women's volleyball program. Steve, welcome. It's great to have you on the show with us.
Thanks, Steve. How are you?
It's great to be with you today. Well, quite a heady moment last week when you look at the United States Olympic volleyball team and you see Megan Hodge and Krista Harmato there.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic stuff. You know, we're really proud of them and being former Nittany Lions and then just having great careers here but continuing to get better after they had left and having good pro careers and putting them in a position to represent the United States is pretty remarkable.
It's remarkable that the label Penn State is on there like that, and seeing that, with the United States Olympic team. I mean, it's you want to talk about a consistent commercial for a couple of weeks. Everybody's going to see them, and they'll be there.
Yeah, no, it's great. And then Alicia Glass, who sat here and had a remarkable career, is an alternate, and Nicole Fawcett, who had an incredible career here, is an alternate as well. And we were hopeful that a few of the girls would make the final 12, but to have four of them in the final, it might be the final 20 to represent the United States is a testament to what Russ has done with this program, and then obviously to each of them individually for the incredible work that they've done.
What's it been like for you to be back?
Fantastic. It's as I've said before, I've had a couple opportunity to talk with some people when I came back. I didn't think after leaving in 2008 that I'd get back into college coaching so quickly. And if I did, I'd been pretty upfront with everyone that the only place I ever wanted to coach was Penn State. And then I got the opportunity and the phone call from Russ, and You know, the transition has been easy for me personally, and I'm ecstatic about how we look and how things are going.
In fact, you were saying that you didn't know if you'd get back into college coaching again. Why at that particular point? Why did you think maybe you wouldn't get back into coaching at that stage of your life? Because, I mean, everybody goes through stages.
Yeah, I mean, part of it was when we left State College. My wife is a chef, and when we left State College, you know, she was out in California at one of the top resorts in the world. It was ranked the number one resort in North America, and she had a good gig, and I was going around the country, basically training coaches and working with kids, and we you know, were working with 1,200 to 1,500 kids a club season, and you know, we had sent in my couple years out there, we had sent over 300 to scholarship to play volleyball in college, and I really liked that aspect of it, you know, helping kids get to the next level and have the opportunity to do things that they didn't think possible. And then I think with college coaching, you know, it's, for me, so much of my college career here and my time here and my you know, my time with Russ has been about this place. I mean, I played here, and we won a couple championships here, and I just, when I left, I thought, hey, if I was ever going to do it and really pour my heart back into it the way you need to, it would have to be Penn State. I mean, I'm a very, very loyal guy, and this was the place that I had my heart set. If I ever was to come back and coach, it would be here.
And you said in order to dedicate what you need to this job, give the fans an idea of the dedication that actually is needed to be an assistant coach on this elite level.
Yeah, I think that the best first line is, you know, and I think people in this community and at Penn State understand how good Russ Rose is. I mean, if you were to look at living legends and people who are just unbelievable at what they do, it starts with Russ and the example he sets, how hard he works. The amount of time and energy he pours into this program, how much he cares about this program. When you're on staff with him, he expects you to match it. And I think when you bleed blue and white, kind of like I do, it's not hard. I mean, when I talk to recruits or if I have people that I see in airports or if I have any conversations with people, in my heart, it's the best volleyball program in the country. And on staff, it's fun to come to work. I mean, I love being around the team when we get the opportunity to be. You know, Russ is a good friend of mine, but he's also, you know, he's in charge of a program that we expect to win every single year. So he's tough, and he expects a lot from us and a lot from the players. But there's no one better. And I think what he's been able to do over his career and how he's built this up is unbelievable.
As a coach in women's volleyball at this stage, what are you allowed to do with the student athletes in the month of July?
Not much, to be frank. They work out with the strength coaches. We see them here and there at camp. We have a lot of camps during the summer that we work at, and you know, with the girls, they're doing a lot of the stuff on their own. I mean, one of the things I think that separates the elite programs is they all get together and they look each other in the eye and say, you know, we want to be special. We don't want to just have an okay year. We want a great year. So they spend a lot of time on their own, you know, taking care of the ball and doing stuff that they need to do to be ready and working out. And then the first time we actually get together will be August 7 when the preseason starts. And then we've got a preseason camp and the rest, you know.
The one thing, though, that people don't realize is that, you know, the answer you gave is the one I knew you were going to give. But I wanted to set up the next question. And to set up the next question in this is that at this time of the year is when your leadership surfaces, because they're the ones that have to tell the other ones, let's get out there and let's make this a special year. Do you sense the strength of leadership based on what you've been able to garner from them when you've been at camps?
I think it's getting there. I think, you know, last year there was a lot of freshmen and sophomores that played. I think the jump from high school or the jump from top club volleyball to college is a big one. And I think so much of it isn't just what you do on the court and the skill development. I think so much of it is the lifestyle you live. So how important it is to them is going to be the key to our season, to be frank. I mean, Russ is fantastic. I think we've got a good coaching staff. I think we can train and the X's and O's and whatnot, I think we'll be fine. I think every staff in the Big Ten is good, and the top programs in the country is good. What's going to separate us is how serious they are and how important it is to them. And so, you know, as much as we can pass that bit of information onto them and say, listen, it's a really important thing that you guys wanted. It's not just about us. And my sense is they're getting better. I think they're a lot further ahead than they were a year ago. And hopefully when they show up to camp on August 7th, everyone's ready.
The next thing that Russ does very well, at least imparting to his team, even though it's difficult sometimes for the fans or the media to get over this, when they win, for example, four in a row, he did a brilliant job of emphasizing to each team that each team had its own personality and each team had its own season, and it wasn't a continuation of the other one. The importance of that attitude within the program, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's really important because every team has its own thing, its own style, and every team has its own way it goes about its business. And new leaders emerge, new role players emerge, and people who were role players a year ago are in the spotlight, and that spotlight can be pretty bright, especially with the attention that the program garners nationally. You know, what he does is keeps people on task, and he realizes we don't have to be as good as we were in 2008. We have to be better than everyone this year, and we have to get the 100% out of our team's 100%. And it's a partnership. I tell the girls all the time that training is trust. You know, we're doing everything every day so they have a great experience here at Penn State and they become the best players they can be. And the proof's in the pudding there, because kids are going on to do remarkable things after. They have to let go a little bit and trust in the process and make sure they work hard every day to get to where we need them to be.
We're with assistant coach Steve Aird from the Penn State women's volleyball program. And you touched upon the recruiting part, because it's for you as a Penn Stater and within Penn State volleyball, you know what you want to sell, from academics to obviously trying to be an elite team in the nation. When you get to the season, though, give us an idea what it's like to scout and to put together a scouting report when there's a turnover every weekend and the turnover's fast.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and I think for people who watch matches or see it on TV, at times it looks like a simple game. I mean, the concept is simple in terms of how you want to go about your business, but at this level, everyone's watching film. I mean, we probably go through 12 to 15 films of each team that we play every week. The staff will put together different reports for Russ, and he'll compile that along with his own thoughts and put together a scouting report for the Friday night match, and we'll do our best to execute that. But while that's happening, we're already worried about the Saturday night match, obviously not overlooking the Friday night match, and getting ready for the next opponent, and all the while, thinking a week out, because we need the information quickly. We need all the information we can get going into Monday or Tuesday of the following week. And then as fast as we can get it to coach, so he can kind of start putting the tying a bow on it, we can implement that stuff into practice on the Saturday, the Wednesday, going into the Friday and Saturday of that week. So it's very intensive for us, and the hope is that the kids, we can help them be 2 or 3 points better per match, and they understand we put a lot of hard work into it, and hopefully that's what we do.
17 days after you go to camp, you start with Morehead State, and then it's either Western Kentucky and Louisville. But then for the local fans, and that's going to be obviously down in Louisville, but for the local fans, and I know you hate to skip ahead at any point, but the Nike Big Four is Texas, Florida, Stanford, and Penn State, and Penn State's going to play Stanford in Texas. For local fans, just give us an idea the power in the month of August that they're going to see.
Yeah, it'll be four of the best programs in the country. I think all of the teams that have been mentioned will be very well ranked coming into it. Everyone will have a weekend under their belt before they get here, so there shouldn't be any jitters. And what's great for us is it's going to give us an idea real quick of where we stand. I mean, Stanford and Texas are both going to be in the conversation the whole year, right throughout the season. And for us, playing them is, internally, when we talk about it as a staff and a team, we want to play the best teams in the country every year, and we want to be relevant. We want to make sure that we're not trying to dodge any people. We're trying to play the best teams we can. And it's a really exciting opportunity for our fans, because it's, they're great teams. And the Big Ten offers fantastic programs, week in and week out when we go through the season. But Texas and Stanford are two teams that, people will see a lot in the Final Four. They'll have a very good chance of winning their conference. And it'll be exceptional volleyball for a couple nights.
And you knew Pat Boland as well. Obviously, this has been an emotional day for everybody here. And You know, Pat spent a lot of time in rec hall and spent a lot of time watching women's volleyball.
No question. Steve, when I think of Pat, I think back to my playing days and the fact that when he would interview me or interview guys on our team or the men's staff when I was here, I always thought he was just a pro, and he approached it like he'd approach football. And to me, I really respected that. And then I had the opportunity to work and call some games with him. I know we did some radio stuff for the women's program, and again, he was prepared. He was funny. I know I was listening to your segment earlier about his sense of humor, and you guys obviously knew him very well, but, you know, he was a pro. He was a really funny guy, it's a sad deal, but when I look back on Pat, I think about how much he brought to the Penn State community and how lucky I was to have known him. And, I look back on his time and my time with him with a big, big smile.
Well said. Well said. Steve, it was an absolute pleasure having you on the show today.
Thanks a lot, Steve. I wish you guys the best.
Right. Steve Aird, assistant coach, Penn State women's volleyball. It's a Friday night, or excuse me, when it gets to be a Saturday night after a Penn State football game, you'll get 5,000, 6,000 in rec hall to watch volleyball. And that Nike Big Four tournament is going to be at the end of August in rec hall. Stanford, Florida, Texas, Penn State. Should be something else. All right, it is a Friday afternoon in the month of July, on a July 6th. We're heading into the weekend. That means you have to stop at Brewer's Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Our show, of course, powered by Lenape Solar. On the Lenape Solar hotline, go to lenapesolar.com, our number 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. And today's show, as always, from the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our question today, we have two questions for you. First of all, are the Phillies out of it? 1-800-795-9565. Are the Phillies out of it? They got Ryan Howard back tonight. They have Chase Utley back. And they're 2 weeks away from Roy Halladay being back. Are they out of it, in your opinion? Second question, are there too many teams in sports leagues? 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Back with more of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Fans don't get a chance to hear what we say during the breaks.
It's probably better that way. For me, anyway.
I don't say much during the break.
You don't.
I listen a lot.
I debate that, but...
Huh?
Exactly.
What?
Exactly. What? And, right, you brought this up because of why?
another bizarre Olympic fact.
Oh, well, I've got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Today's was that rowing often has what is called a coxswain or without coxswain. Sometimes there's a person there controlling the tempo. Sometimes they're not. That was today's Olympic fun fact. Listen, you're going to sit there and they're going to be doing this in prime time. They're going to be doing highlights and you're going to say, you know what? I understand that now. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
Look, just get to the line faster than the other group.
Well, but it's how you get there that makes the difference.
Once again, all people care about is who gets to the line first.
All right.
Correct?
Not completely, but I concede some.
Right.
Women's right. 8, that's the big one, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure it's incredible.
Women's 8, they're coming off the 2011 World Gold. That'll be the one to watch. They're the favorites right now for the United States.
Really?
The women's 8 and rolling. And rowing, rather.
Really?
Yes.
That's tremendous.
There is your Olympic fun fact to get you prepared. We'll have another one on Monday. Well, let me rephrase that. I'll have another one on Monday. You'll sound
next
faintly interested.
Two new segments we're introducing to the show on an everyday basis. This date in sports history, which we'll do next hour. Okay. And also, the play-by-play call of the night. We're going to have both for you.
I hope you have both of them.
Yes, I have both of them.
You just kind of sprung that on me. I would have done
sprung it on you. I told you in yesterday's show.
You didn't see we were going to do it today.
Well, yeah.
I thought I had a weekend to think about it.
Think about what? I've got it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Okay?
Glad one of us is prepared.
Oh, my goodness. I mean,
brutal. No, I love both of these ideas, by the way.
Yeah.
I love both of these ideas because I always like to be educated about the history of sports. I'm looking forward to some of those. Mm. And, I love play-by-play, so, you know, I love a great call or even a bad call.
Right. Boy. Yeah. So we're going to have those features every day for you. I mean, I did this because I think it's more entertaining.
Agreed.
And to the good folks out there that love to sponsor good radio, I think they're both great sponsorship ideas.
Also agree.
I mean, simple as that. And you complain.
No. Do not interpret anything I have said as a complaint. I am very much supportive and, as Mark Lawrence would say, supporting and endorsing this.
You are, I say.
Absolutely. I was just worried there because I hadn't prepared for today.
Well, fortunately, I decided to wake up this morning and say, you know what? I think for once in my life I'll prepare for this show. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565.
Listen, here it is. You call in and pick the topic, or I'll pick one for you. There you go. That's your incentive to call.
What's this?
I'm just saying. I'm asking listeners to call in. It's you pick the topic, or I'll pick it for you.
Really?
Yeah. Now, there's incentive to call.
Wow.
Because I've got a lot of Olympic rowing that I can discuss.
Please, I beg of you, 1-800-795-9565. Please, burn up the Lenape Solar Hotline. I need you. I need you more than ever. This guy wants to talk about rowing. I actually went to the Harvard Yale Regatta once on the Thames River, okay? I actually went to it once, all right? I'll watch rowing in the Olympics. I think it's cool whichever one gets the line first. It's all in. This guy wants to break it down.
I have in-depth analysis.
Please, I beg of you, anything. I don't care if you want to talk about a water shortage in Milton. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the Beverage Supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury, at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Women's 8, watch it. They're going to be in the hunt.